Well, welcome. This is our Confirmation Sunday. Ashley, why don't you come on up with me? This is Ashley Ewing. She is our associate pastor, and she is the one who has been working with this class of confirmands over the last year. And so, yeah, give her a hand. And so this is a special day in the life of the church and the life of these young folks. This is when we do infant baptisms, which we're going to have one of those later today too. When we do infant baptisms within the liturgical churches, these kids don't get the chance to speak for themselves, right? It's a choice made for them. And later on, we're going to baptize Zachary William Booth. And Zachary William Booth is just going to have to deal with it when I put water on his head, right? He doesn't get to reject that. That's a decision his parents are making for him. And when we do that, what we are doing is talking about we are suspending the promise of God, that God created us in his image, that he has a plan for us, that it's God's will that every single one of us come to know him. And the parents are making a promise, a covenant at that time that they want to raise that child in the knowledge of God. The church is making a covenant saying we as a church want to make sure that we are going to provide ministries for these families, for all families that come, that we want to be a place that helps people come to know God. And then we ultimately we are banking on that promise that God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will be with you every day of your life. I'm your rock and your redeemer. And then at some point later on when they become of age, and I guess you're all of age now, right? Right? You have your own Facebook account. Is that the age of accountability now? Right? At a point where they get to make, then the hope, that suspended promise is then brought full circle when the kids get to come forward and say, it's not just my parents' belief, it's not just my grandma's church, it's just not my mom's church, my dad's church, this is my belief, my faith, my Lord, my Savior. And so that's what we're doing this morning. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on this morning. We are going to be doing some baptisms. We are going to be doing confirmation, and then we are bringing a bunch of folks into membership in the church. And so this is a day of celebration for us, and we are looking forward to it. And so I'm going to invite all the families that are involved to come up, and if you'll line yourselves up across the front of the church. Ready, set, go. Yeah, come on. Stand up. There you go. And we're going to go all the way across. So half of you will be over there. And parents, if you'll sort of stand next to the one you claim. We got all the room over here too. You're gonna have to go wide. How wide and deep and long God's love really is. Hey. All right. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are incorporated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All of this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Through confirmation and through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ Holy Church. And Ashley's going to read the roll here in a moment, and I'm just going to ask as she reads your name if you'll just raise your hand where you are so everybody can see who you are.
I present the following people for baptism: Bailey Helmer, Colin Lofton, Samantha Pitts, William Stefferson, and Zachary William Booth. I present the following people for confirmation: Satabria Barales, Del Davis, Cameron Hale, Rex Halford, Bailey Helmer, Hudson Holloway, Ellington Hull, Holland Lofton, Caitlin Machen, Samantha Pitts, Jenna Porter, Jessica Porter, Parker Smith, Sabrina Todd, Brock Williams, and Gunnar Williams. I present the following people for membership in First United Methodist Church of Harlingen: Del Davis, Cameron Hale, Rex Halford, Bailey Helmer, Tate Helmer, Heather Helmer, Hudson Holloway, Shannon Holloway, Ellington Hull, Holland Lofton, Caitlin Machen, R.D. Machen, Melanie Machen, Samantha Pitts, Jim Pitts, Lori Pitts, Jenna Porter, Jessica Porter, Parker Smith, Bill Stefferson, Lori Stefferson, William Stefferson, Yadi Holloway Ramirez, Hector Rodriguez, Sabrina Todd, Brock Williams, and Gunnar Williams.
Would you all... And so as you're able, will you sort of turn around and look at me? Right? Don't fall on the steps. All the uncoordinated people, Mike Helfer, don't fall on the steps. So this is for everyone in congregation. You're going to have a part here in a minute. These are historic questions asked for church membership, for baptism, for membership into churches. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do. I got to hear you. There you go. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord, in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? And this one, this is your profession of faith, so I need to hear it. If so, say, I do.
I do.
I do. Good. Zachary, where's Zachary and his parents? This is for you, because as I said, he doesn't get to speak for himself. Okay? So for Zachary, parents, will you nurture Zachary in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's will for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say, I will. Good. For everyone else, according to the grace given you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? If so, say, I will. And congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? We do is the answer. Oh, I guess she has it on the screen. Good. We're high tech. All right, good. Will you nurture one another in Christian faith and life and include these people now before you in your care? And there is a response. Would you read this with me, everyone? With God's help, claim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround these persons with a community of love and forgiveness, that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them, that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. And I'm going to invite you, congregation, to stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ? And do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
Amen. Have a seat. Have a seat. Not you. We are going to start with baptisms, and water is the symbol of baptism. And those of you that, as I come down and we're going to do some baptisms, those of you that have already been baptized, Ashley's going to be holding the bowl, and we're going to invite you to go ahead and dip your fingers in the water as a way to remember your baptism. We are completing that circle this morning that we talked about, that as you are baptized as an infant, we are remembering that. So we invite you to dip your fingers in the water as a symbol for that. And water in the scriptures is given as an example of cleanliness, of pureness, of new birth and new life. And it's what we use this morning as a symbol of God's love for us, of the cleansing of our sins through Jesus Christ, and our opportunity for new life with him. When you do baptism as being immersed, there is a symbolism of the old man dying and the new person being born. That as you go under the water, the sinful man goes under the water, that life is surrendered to a new life in Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit. And as the water, as you come out of the water, you are a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. We're not going to be doing submersions this morning, but the sacraments are a symbol, right? Even when we do immersions, we're not really killing the person. Right? There's been some I've wanted to in the past, right? And there's some of these that probably need to be held down until the bubbles don't come out anymore, right? But it's a symbol. And so we'll be doing a sprinkling this morning. It is a symbol. But we are celebrating the new life in Christ, that the old man is gone, the new man, the new person is there for us. We all have the ability to live beyond our sins. And so we're gonna come do that now. Ashley, if you'll get the water. And let's go down. We're going to go over here first. And this is, y'all can face the, come here, Bailey. So Bailey is our first baptism. This is Bailey Helmer, and she is going to be baptized, and you've already recited that you're ready for this, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Good. I like that yes, sir part. Haley? Bailey? Haley? Haley's my daughter. Bailey is you, right? I got that straight now. I don't want to baptize you with the wrong name, so Bailey. Jesus Christ loves you, gave his life for you, and now you're giving his life, your life for him. So, Bailey, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
And then, Parker, did you dip your, we're going to do that later, okay. Do you want to dip your fingers? No, no. Mom or dad, anybody want to remember their baptism as it goes by, if you've been baptized? And we're making our way to Holland. Where's Holland? She's over there, okay. And Samantha is over there, good. William, where's William? There's William. Come here, man. This is my buddy William Stefferson, and he's going to be baptized today. Right?
Yep.
All right. So come here, man. Come here. I'm going to ask, you love Jesus, right?
Yes.
I know you do. You love other people too, right?
Yes.
And you want them to know about God, right?
Yes, sir.
I know you do.
Yes, sir.
And we love you too.
Yes, right? Sir.
So, William, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Zachary. All right, Zachary, come here, buddy.
You ready?
Come here. And I don't know if you can see it, but he's got his little bow tie on for baptism. This is Zachary William Booth, and his parents have already taken their pledge of faith. And it's the water that's coming down my cheeks. It's and so, you know, let's get over here so you can be a part of your son's baptism. All right. So, Zachary William Booth, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. There you go. Yeah. Oh, no. All right. Holland. We'll come to you. We'll come to you. Here we go. All right. Here we go. All right. Holland. This is Holland Lofton, and she, same question. Is it your desire to be baptized today?
Yes.
And to be a part of God's kingdom? We are excited for you, Holland. Holland, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And Samantha. Oh, she's right by us. Okay, right there. There's Samantha. Oops, oops, oops. Samantha Pitts, and she is also one of our confirmation students. Samantha, is it your desire to be baptized today? Yep. You sure? You look confused. No, I'm just... That's the way she always looks, right? Is it your desire to love God and give your life to him? I know it is. I know it is. Samantha, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to cut, if you want to go ahead and take it down so anybody can dip in if they want. And excuse me. So in just a moment, we're going to do our actual confirmation, and the way this is going to work is I'm going to call a name, and Ashley and I are going to be standing up here, and as we call you, come up, and you're going to kneel in front of us. Family, come up, and if you want to put your hands on them as well, we're going to say a prayer with you, and a congregation will invite you to pray with us as we confirm these kids. And so we ready? So we start with Satabria Barales.
Satabria, the Holy Spirit work within you that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Dale Davis.
Del Davis, the Holy Spirit work within you that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Cameron Hale.
Cameron, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
Rex.
Rex Halford.
You're okay. Rex, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Bailey Helmer.
Bailey, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Hudson Holloway.
Hudson, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Ellington Hall.
Ellington, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Holland Lofton.
Holland. The Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Caitlin Machen.
Katie, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Samantha Pitts.
Samantha, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Jenna Porter.
Jenna, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. And Jessica Porter.
Jessica, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Parker Smith.
Parker, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. God bless.
Amen. Thank you.
Sabrina Todd.
Sabrina, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. God bless. Brock Williams.
Brock, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. God bless. And Gunnar Williams.
Gunnar, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may live as a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. God bless. God bless. Would y'all give them a round of applause? Now, for all who are joining, just raise your hands for me if you're joining. There's adults and families and, okay, good. So these are questions for you, okay? Is it your desire to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? And to love your neighbor as yourself? And are you willing to share with this local church your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your story? Welcome to the First United Methodist Church of Harlingen. Would y'all just spin around, look out there? Folks, this is your family. These are new additions to your family. Won't you receive them? Won't you stand with me? And you can all go have a seat. Thank you very much. Have a seat. Have a seat. I realize it's 12 o'clock, but I have a word to say. All right. So we have been doing a Keeping It Real series over the last few weeks, and as I'm coming to the end of my time here as your pastor, I just wanted to hit again some of the themes that we've been trying to live out. And if you look on the back of your bulletin, you see our mission vision statement. This has been sort of our aiming point over the last 7 years. We want to be real people in a real relationship with Jesus Christ that make a real difference in the world. And so that's what we've been working on. And through these last few weeks, I've just been trying to hit on us, reminding us of part of that. And I know we're late, so I'm not going to take a long time on this. But I wanted this morning, and this is really towards you young folks, okay? So I'm going to be looking at you, so don't fall asleep. Rex, don't fall asleep, okay? Stay awake. All right. So we're going to use my favorite story in the Bible. It's David and Goliath, right? David and Goliath. And what I want to talk to you about is impossible odds, right? All of us know what it feels like to be in impossible situations. Any of you basketball fans? Right, the San Antonio Spurs are in an impossible situation right now. They're a man down. They're a couple men down, right? And they're taking on the Giants of the Golden State Warriors. You know what it feels like. Has anybody ever been bullied before? Had a bully chase you? When I was growing up, I lived in this little neighborhood and town where we just lived down from the school, and there were just a bunch of us that were pretty much the same age that would go, and we'd play baseball and everything, hang out at the school, and then there was a a gang of older guys. And the main one, his name was Jerry Torkelson. And he was like, he taunted us all the time. And there was many times that I spent, our games would be interrupted and I would go running home. It was a race to get home before he could catch me and beat me up. Because he was a lot bigger than me and stuff. And I saw him a few years ago. He's not that big anymore. I think I could take him now. But back then, it bothered me. And in the Bible, in the Old Testament, in 1 Samuel 17, we have this story of David and Goliath. And the Israelite army was camped on one hill, and the Philistine army was on another hill. And they were at odds, and they were enemies. And Saul's army, the Israelite army, they were afraid of the Philistines, and for the main reason of this guy named Goliath. It says in the scripture that he was 10 feet tall, almost 10 feet tall. He was a huge man. He had 125 pounds just of armor on. He had a bronze spear with a tip that weighed 25 pounds. He was a huge man. This last week, I went up to Kerrville to meet the staff that I'll be working with there, and they have a youth director there named Brock. And Haley knew Brock before, and I'd seen pictures of him, but I'd never seen him before. He is 6'8", I think, tall, and about 6'8", wide. He is a huge man. And so as I met him, I'm like looking at his chest. Hey, hello, sir. How are you? And Goliath was bigger than him, right? And so Goliath would come out every morning and throughout the day, and he would walk into the valley and say, hey, come on, chickens, why don't you come fight me? Send somebody down to fight me. Come on, somebody be brave enough to do it. And if you win, we will be your slaves. And if I win, you will be our slaves. And the Israelite army was just scared to death of him. And they lived for months in fear. And you know, sometimes in life, you guys are going to have situations that seem impossible. Hopefully you don't have illness problems in your family, but chances are some of you, if it's not going to be you, it's going to be somebody you love. Maybe college won't be that easy for you. Maybe high school won't be that easy for you. Maybe you'll have an injury, but there's going to be some times in your life where you have some problems, where there's going to be something that seems impossible to get over. And all of us have that. Over and over and over, we're confronted with circumstances that, you know, sometimes just paralyze us with fear. How are we going to get past this? How are we going to move past the problems in our marriage? How are we going to deal with the kid that's in rebellion? How are we going to deal with the cancer diagnosis? How are we going to deal with the death of a loved one? All of us know what it feels like to be paralyzed with fear. And so into this situation, little David, he wasn't that little. He's probably 12, 13 at this point. David, who had been watching his father's sheep, his dad sent him to go check on his brothers and take lunch to him. So David shows up with his lunch boxes, and here's Goliath taunting the Israelites, and here's him challenging him, and he can see all the men chicken. And David, this young man, heard them challenging God and Goliath insulting God, and David is like, what is wrong with you people? Why are we letting this Philistine insult our God? Why doesn't somebody do something about it? And David's brothers were like, shut up, go back to your sheep and be quiet. You don't even know what you're talking about, kid. But he was like, no, somebody's got to do something about this. I'll go fight him if nobody else will. And so they agreed to it. They give him the armor. Saul gives him armor and stuff. And so they're putting this armor on him that belongs to an adult, but he's a little kid and he's trying, and he can't even walk with it and everything. So he says, I'm not going to deal with this. So he doesn't even use the armor. He takes his slingshot and he takes 5 stones and he goes out to face Goliath. And you remember what happened? Everybody knows the story, right? What happened? He goes walking out and he says, you come to me with a spear and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Almighty God. And he runs towards Goliath and he hits him right between the eye, and Goliath goes down. And then he runs over. This is the cool part. He runs over, gets his own sword, gets Goliath's sword, cuts off his head, and then hangs it up for everybody to see. That's my favorite part of the story. That's right. That's the brave heart part. Ah, yeah. Right. So from that story, here's two quick ideas I want you to hear this morning as you start this new step in your faith journey. David, when everyone else, all they heard was fear and doubt. David, a young person with audacious, tenacious faith, a ridiculous faith, a faith that made no sense, but an audacious, tenacious faith, a belief that God could do anything. It didn't matter how old he was. It didn't matter he couldn't wear the armor. It didn't matter he didn't have a sword. It didn't matter he hadn't been trained by to be a soldier, but his faith in God allowed him to have victory in life. And I'm going to tell you that this promise you made this morning, this commitment you made this morning, this faith that you professed this morning, you need to stand by for the rest of your life. And you know you're going to mess it up. We all do. There's going to be times when you don't live into it. There's going to be times when you're not the person that you hope to be. But just know that God is always there. But can you believe in a God that's big enough and bigger than all your problems? You need to believe in that God. If you believe in that God, it doesn't matter how big life's problems are. It doesn't matter if they're a giant 10-foot man that wants to cut your head off. It doesn't matter if it's the grades at school. It doesn't matter if it's you don't have friends. It doesn't matter if your boyfriend or your girlfriend breaks up with you. There is a God who's bigger than that. If you'll live there, it's going to bring you some joy and happiness in life. The enemy for all of us as Christians is the devil, who wants to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants us to doubt ourselves. He wants us to doubt the power of God. It's that voice in the back of your head that says, oh, you don't really believe God makes a difference. You don't really believe he can love you. You don't really believe he... Don't let the enemy win. Have audacious, tenacious faith. Secondly, you have been given gifts that if you will use those for God's glory, you are going to do something amazing in your life. It's a little different than what sometimes we hear. Sometimes we as adults, it's close to the truth, but it's not quite the truth. And we'll say, you can be or do whatever you want to do in life. And that's an American ideal, but that's not really real. That's not really biblical. Here's what I need you to hear. God has gifted you in a certain way. There is something about you that the world needs. There is some part of your personality. There are talents and skills that you have been given that the world is in desperate need of. And if you will pursue that, if you will discover your gifts and pursue that for the rest of your life, there is nothing that you won't be able to accomplish. That's what Paul means in Philippians when he says, I can do all things through God who gives me strength. Find your gifts. Find your place in the kingdom, and then with faith, a tenacious, audacious faith, live out that faith to make a difference. You can change the life of somebody. You're going to have roommates in college. You're going to have friends. You're going to someday work. A couple of you might get married if there's blind people in the world. You have opportunities to live into the life of others. You can do amazing things for the church. This is my last sort of real Sunday, okay? So next week I'm going to my sister's wedding. The week after I'm at a graduation. Then I'll be back on the 11th. We're doing one service for that. And that's going to be a weird service, so it's not going to be a real sermon. So this is my last shot at you, okay? Jennifer came up and talked about the finances of the church and stuff. And if we want to do what the world does, here's what we do. Oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Oh, $100,000. Oh my. God sneezes more than $100,000 without thinking about it. The money is not a problem. Are we a church that believes with audacious, tenacious faith that God can do anything? That's the question. That's where I've been trying to lead you for 7 years. It's what we've been trying to do. Are we going to allow circumstances to dictate who we are? Are we going to allow the enemy to tell you that it's not good enough? Are we going to be a church that stands up as a light and a beacon in the midst of darkness in our world to say there is a God who is good and has all power? That is the question. Amen. If you wonder why we need to do the things we do, you saw evidence of it this morning. the ministries that this church is able to do, the young kids that are over there in Children's Church right now that are learning about God, these young adults who have come to faith in Christ, who have been nurtured in faith by this church. This is why we do what we do. And if you wonder what the future looks like for that, I give you the hope that you saw this morning standing in front of you. We serve an amazing, powerful God. And the story of David and Goliath, we call it David and Goliath, but do you know who fought that battle? David said it. He said, "You come to me with a spear and a sword, but I come to you in the name of my God, the Lord Almighty." That's who fights for us. That's whose church this is. He loves people more than we can imagine. He loves you more than we can imagine. He loves this church more than we can imagine. He wants us to win. The question is, are we going to be on his side? Or are we going to try to do our own thing? I'm going to stop before I cry. So, audacious, tenacious, ridiculous faith. That's what it takes. Despite all circumstances, despite what you see, despite what you hear, the ability to believe in the word of God, the promises of God, and his power, that's what will lead you forward. As we move forward, JJ is the name of the pastor that's coming in. Here's some counsel for you. Let's fight the enemy and not each other. Right? Sometimes in church we lose sight of who we are. And sometimes we get so into battling against each other and, oh, that's a new pastor. We're going to have to find out what he does and what I don't like about him and everything else. And keep in mind, you all get to stay in your home. There's a new guy coming into an enemy territory, right? And you feel like the monkey on the stage for the first few months, right? You're here and everybody, and you know every word is being dissected by the, right? Don't fight against him, fight with him. Don't fight against each other, fight with them. Don't fight against the Baptists, fight with them. Don't fight against the Episcopalians, fight with them. The enemy is Satan, not us. And if we can unite and fight together against the forces of evil, who knows what difference this place could make. Amen? Amen. Why don't you bow with me? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We love you. And we want to be your people. We want to have that kind of ridiculous faith that just goes blindly forward. That seems like we don't know what we're talking about and seems arrogant, but it's because we are assured that God is on our side. God, we pray for these young folks that have made their commitment this morning. We pray for those who have been baptized. We pray for all who have joined in with this body. And God, we pray for this entire congregation as we recommit ourselves to you. May we do incredible, amazing, awesome things in your name. Will you address hunger and poverty and homelessness and hopelessness and loneliness? God, will you help us to continue to make a difference as we serve you? And we pray that in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.